It's time to meet the next generation of Columbus Blue Jackets. This is the Pipeline Podcast, presented by Ruoff Mortgage. Let's see who's coming down the pipeline today with your host, Dylan Tyer.
Welcome to another edition of the Pipeline Podcast. This is actually going to be our final episode of the Pipeline Podcast this regular season. And my plan is to take a couple of weeks off. Yes, I need a break too. So take a couple of weeks off. Then we're going to come back and hit it really hard with some pre-draft coverage. That should be right around lottery time. So the beginning of May, I think, is my plan to pick it back up with the Pipeline Podcast. And I can promise you, we're going to get really into things. At that point, we're going to know where the Blue Jackets are drafting. It should be a pretty darn high pick in the 2024 NHL entry draft. And as it stands right now, there's not necessarily a consensus. Macklin Celebrini is expected to go number one overall. But after that, it could be anybody. So we're really going to get into the weeds and get you prepped to see who the Blue Jackets might pick. But back to this week. We're going to go in a little bit different of a direction. We're not talking with a prospect. You might have seen that in the episode description or the title. Instead, we're going to be speaking with the head coach of the Blue Jackets AHL affiliate, the Cleveland Monsters. That is Trent Vogelhuber. And the reason that I wanted to talk to Trent this week, well, there are actually a few reasons. First and foremost, the Monsters have had an awesome year, and every time I talk to one of their players, a Blue Jackets prospect on that team, they laud Trent. They laud the coaching staff. They say, this guy really gets it. And you heard about that when we talked to the general manager of the Monsters, Chris Clark, earlier this season. So first and foremost, I want to talk about the good year that they've had. Beyond that, there's lots of Blue Jackets prospects playing on the Cleveland Monsters, so I want to talk about watching those guys develop firsthand. And then, of course, there's the prospect of postseason hockey on the horizon, so I want to see how the Monsters are preparing for that. As it stands right now, Cleveland sits in third place in the North Division. They've got 80 points at 36-23-5-3 this season. They're just 2 points out of first place, though. Syracuse leads the way with 82 points. Rochester right behind them with 81. Then it's the Monsters with 80. Each of those three teams has 5 games remaining this season. And you might be thinking to yourself, what the heck happened? Because the Monsters were literally in first place all season. Well, remember, the Blue Jackets have lots of injuries at the NHL level right now. So that means they've taken some of the Monsters' best players. They're playing in the NHL. And the Monsters are missing those guys, so they've struggled a little bit lately. They're 3-5-2 in their last 10 games. But as they get more and more of those players back when the Blue Jackets season ends, they should be really geared and primed for a long run in the playoffs. But as it stands right now, they're in third place in the North. They're still in the playoff picture, but they'd love to be in first place when it all comes down to it. And that's not out of the question. Remember, just 2 points out of first place. If the season were to end today, the Monsters would not have to play in the first round of the playoffs. There's a first round, then the second round is the division semifinals, a best-of-five series. So that's where they would start things out, playing against the team 1 point ahead of them in the North, the Rochester Americans. So it would be a 2-3 matchup. That's why the seeding is so important towards the end of the season. The Monsters, of course, want home ice. And if they could get into first place, they'd be playing a team that was tired coming into that game, the winner of a first-round series. So that's why it matters so much, these last few games, that Cleveland picks up points and hopefully gets back into first place. But let's not waste any more time getting ready for what we're going to talk about. Let's get to the conversation. Here he is, Cleveland Monsters head coach Trent Vogelhuber. Trent, so you guys have had a terrific season to this point, which we're going to talk about plenty. But to start off, I want to go back to the very beginning of this year. What did you think about the team when it all started out this season, when you have all these rookies on the roster combined with a lot of good veterans? What was kind of the outlook or your hopes at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I think our floor was definitely raised with the amount of young talent coming in, right? This is really the first year in quite a few where we've had a big crop of young legitimate prospects. And so I had high hopes. I playoffs, absolutely. And I knew it would be a lot of work, as it always is with young player. It's this league is a lot more difficult than most kids coming out of college or junior or Europe recognize. It's a pretty tough grind. And so I knew that it would be, you know, a learning progression and there'd be ups and downs, but my hopes were high because we had strong returning players with a good group of really talented young rookies. So it's, like I said, it has been a lot of work as I suspected, but that's okay. That's what we're here for, but it's been great. People have, the young guys have come in and contributed and really, stepped into the roles that we've asked them and embraced the things that we've asked them to grow with. And so, you know, it's been a obviously pretty successful season so far, but we're far from finished.
It is really unique because there are so many first year pros on the team, and you had a taste of it last year with a player like David Juracek. But what was your plan going into this season with how you were going to approach those guys in terms of the playing time? Because I've talked about it with Chris Clark, with different guys, like the healthy scratches for some of these players aren't a punishment by any means. That's kind of the plan, right?
Sometimes, absolutely. And there's, you know, we take a lot of time in training camp and in the summer to recognize what certain players need. Some of it is, and a lot of it with these young players, especially the 19, 20 year olds is physical, right? And so we want to make sure we're taking a lot of time, and we have 10 less games than the NHL, and we want to make sure that we're working on their bodies so they can be healthy through an 82 game plus NHL season when it's time for them to do that. And so we've sat guys out to give them longer weeks when there's a Wednesday game so they can really utilize that time in the weight room, especially for the first half or three quarters of the season. I think that's been really, really good for them and being able to, now we want them to play their best hockey now. You know, this is when the season really begins. You go through a 72 game dress rehearsal for playoffs. That's what it's for. And so we took a lot of that time with some of our young players to make sure that their bodies were in a spot where they could be an effective player in a 7-game playoff series at our level right now, but ultimately in Columbus with you guys down the road.
One of the players you're talking about is Luca Delbelbalouse. He was a high draft pick by the Blue Jackets in the second round back in 2022. A first-year pro this season, a guy that definitely wants to be more physically mature to make it to the NHL one day. And you've used him up and down the lineup this season. What are your thoughts on Luca Delbelbalouse in his first year as a pro?
Well, I think we came in and had that pretty blunt discussion with him early about where we don't think he's physically able to compete at the pro level for the length of the season, and laid out the plan with him. And he was 100% on board and has been the first guy in the weight room and hungry to improve in that way. So I give him a lot of credit because, you know, a lot of young hockey players just want to play and just want to get out and be on the power play. And I get that, but it's a process, and we got to make sure we're doing it right for these young guys. And he's had the right mental approach from day one. And I think he's put on 10 plus pounds of muscle and, you know, he's starting to be able to compete and win more puck battles. Now he has the puck and he's able to utilize that skill, which got him drafted in the second round. Right. So it's certainly a progression, and he's done a really good job of embracing that, trusting us through it and diving in, full head of steam.
James Malatesta is a much different case, I would say, than Luca Delbelbalouse, because he's a later round draft pick by the Blue Jackets, but he was the MVP of the QMJHL playoffs, the MVP of the Memorial Cup last season. And when you talk about the physical development, he's one of the most physically developed 19, 20-year-olds you're going to see. That has him playing in the NHL with the Blue Jackets right now. But what have you liked about James Malatesta in Cleveland this year?
Yeah, you're spot on. I think he's a complete opposite situation from Luca in that sense. He can skate, he can hit, he can win the battles, all those things. And you guys are seeing that in Columbus right now. He can make an instant impact with his energy and his physical presence. and we've seen that obviously throughout the course of our year too. And he's made a really, really strong impact here as well. With Jimmy, it's different, right? Because he has these tools, but we've been diving under the hood of the car and kind of really studying the details of the game that, I think because he's been physically developed and has such a good shot and can win the 50-50 battles, up to his career at this point, he hasn't necessarily had to rely on some of those details that you certainly do at our level and definitely at yours. So that's a lot of what we've been working on with him over the last 4 or 5 months, just to make him a steady, reliable player, not just a guy to send over the boards to go hit somebody, which he's really good at that. And we're going to that's valuable, right, for an organization, of course. But I want him to be a trustworthy 200-foot player that can bring energy, that can score, but can defend properly away from the puck and check as well.
Hunter McCown is another one of your forwards I'm interested in because he got NHL time with the Blue Jackets last season. And he also has a different path than either of the guys we just talked about because he played college hockey. So a little bit older, more time to mature. What do you like about Hunter McCown's game and where do you want to see it go as your season continues?
Yeah, Hunter, among the young guys, arguably most improved in a sense. They've all done really good jobs, but I think his it took time for Hunter to recognize his role as a professional hockey player. He's got all the tools. He's big, he can skate, he's got outstanding skill, he can shoot. And it's been trying to find a way for him to understand how and when to utilize that skill. And he, what I think he's done a really good job of the last couple months is understanding the physical engagement level that he needs to bring that's directly tied to the skill sets that he has. It's not going to be an easy game ever, and especially this time of year. And he has the frame and the tools to impose his will physically. And very similarly to Luka, now you have that part of your game. You get the puck back, and now that skill can be utilized. And not that he didn't want to do that necessarily. I think it was just took some time and him recognizing and understanding, wow, these two things were tied directly together, and you can't get to B, which is maybe the fun part, if you don't have A. And now you embrace A, that becomes fun too. The getting your shoulder into battles, being first on pucks, hanging on to it, reverse hitting, that physical brand as well. And then, like I said, he creates space for him, and they've got the skill, which is why he's a highly touted prospect. So it's been fun for us to kind of see that light bulb click around halfway or two thirds of the way through the year and him start to come along lately. Now he's injured right now, so we're super excited to get him back, hopefully sooner than later, and have him pick up right where he left off. But I'm pretty proud of the way that he's embraced that, recognized that, and has come along.
Another guy that's a project is Corson Kuhlemans. And I think everybody knew that when the Blue Jackets drafted him. He was their third first-round pick in 2021, 25th overall. He's on a stacked, really young blue line right now in Cleveland. He did get to make his pro debut last season, but how have you seen Corson Kuhlemans' game change from then until now?
Yeah. It's like you said, we have a lot of really good young defensemen, and Corson's included in that list. And it is a difficult, difficult thing, especially for a young defenseman, more so than forwards, to find their niche in pro hockey. And we say around here, young D, especially around his age, 20, 19, like Yuri the year before, it takes 200 pro games for them to find who they are as a D-man. Because there are so many intricate reads and nuances to the position that just take rep after rep after rep to start to understand and to click and to start to make their proper reads more often than not. And that's what he's going through right now. And he's absolutely taken steps in the right direction. I think a lot of our young players in this league in general and pro hockey don't recognize how physically demanding the league is and pro hockey is every night consistently, right? It's hard. And I think Corson's done a good job of being harder in kind of the trench areas. And he can skate and he's got the tools as well. It's just a process, and guys want things right now. Right. And that's good because they're hungry and they're competitive. but I'm not going to skip steps just to put guys on the ice the amount of minutes that they might want. It's something you have to go through. And, you know, when Corson and some of the other players don't play as much as they want, that's good for them too. They get hungry. They start to recognize, wow, this is really, everybody here is good and in similar boat. And that's, you know, they push themselves harder than maybe we can even push them by being in that situation around friends, teammates that are, you know, at the end of the day in competition with them, right? In order to make it to the Blue Jackets. And Corson's having a good first year. He's coming along nicely. It's just part of the process. Sometimes you play, sometimes you don't. And I'm not going to skip that process just to get guys on the ice the amount that they want.
How do you balance that as a coach? Because you're in a pretty unique situation in that league with the roster that you have, where part of your job is helping to develop guys and get them to the next level. And a big part of your job is winning hockey games, making the playoffs, and hopefully winning the Calder Cup. So how do you approach that?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's obviously difficult because we want to win, of course. And I think, and I tell these guys all the time, the most important thing that I can teach them is to have a winning mindset, to expect to win, to develop winning habits, and to nix any kind of losing symptoms they may have, us as a group and individuals. And so I do believe that's the most important thing. We're all in this business. We get paid for results, and that's to win and hopefully win championships. So that can't necessarily take second fiddle. Now, we put a ton of time into making sure we're developing these guys and giving them opportunities. But like I've said, it's a process, and I will never not believe that things need to be earned, no matter where somebody's draft position is or status as a prospect. And I think that's something that they need to learn now, because when they're wearing a Blue Jacket sweater, nothing's going to be given to them. Nobody cares, right? And so you have to beat out 10-year veterans here for ice time before you're going to be able to do it with guys who are in the NHL. And that's not fun. That's not a fun thing for them to hear, to see, to go through. But ultimately, that's what we're here for, is to strengthen, harden them mentally, physically, and to get them understand how difficult it is every day to be an NHL player and to be a guy that can help an NHL team win a 7-game playoff series. That's the only thing we have in mind here when we're developing, not to be good AHL players. That's not the goal. We want them to be effective players in the NHL to help their team, the Blue Jackets, win a 7-game playoff series or multiple. So in order to do that, you have to keep the big picture in mind. And there are steps backwards before steps forwards. And things need to be earned, not given, right? And they have to buy into the team concept and what they need to do to help the team win for them to really progress as pros.
What do we need to know about Stanislav Svozil? And I ask that because he's a big-time talent, but he's kind of on the periphery. You know, he was playing overseas, then he was playing in the WHL in Regina, so not necessarily on the top of the mind for Blue Jackets fans, but now he's in state, he's in Cleveland. What do we need to know about this guy?
Oh, Stan has things you can't teach. His brain, the way he sees the ice and can make plays and understands the game, those nuances that I was talking about with young defensemen, are ahead of his age, which is good because those are the hardest things for us to teach. So it's great when you have a young player that comes in and can understand some of the systematic, some of the away from the puck reads. Now he's in a similar boat to Luka, where I think physically he just has to get to another level or two in order for him to be an 82 plus NHL player. And that's where we're at with him. And he's a guy that's missed some games as well, back-to-backs and middle of the week, so we can get him in the weight room to continue progress on that. But for him to really, really take the next step, he's going to need a summer of heavy, heavy weight room and conditioning and all those things so he can get to the level. Because I know his brain thinks it, and I know his eyes see it, but he needs to put his body in a position where he can act on those things that he sees. And again, I think he's taken good steps and coming along, but it's That's my 200 game rule again for the young defenseman. He's going to need a little bit of time as far as getting himself physically acclimated to being able to do it every night. It's been a joy to have him just because of the way his mind works and he sees the game.
It's got to be nice because you have a player on the blue line. You have multiple guys, but a player that has lots of skill and lots of success at the AHL level that these guys can look up to, and that's Jake Christensen. What's he meant to the Monsters this season?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's important for these guys to see because 4 years ago, Christy was very similar in wanted everything then and now. And, you know, his evaluation on his game was directly tied to puck touches and points. And he's done a really good job, I think, midway through last year of taking that step and understanding what he has to do to be an NHL player. That's being hard to play against. That's defending properly. Transitioning the puck, getting it to the forwards. And he's done a great job of that. And you know, it's funny, and I've talked to him about it. When he's played the right way for chunks, his point totals actually go up. You know, so it's been really good to see, and he's been a good example for these young players because he was playing, you know, 13, 14 minutes his first year. That's not what he wants to do. That's not what these first year defensemen or players want to do either. They want to be up in the 20s. And over the course of his time, as he's progressed, understood, gone through some ups, some downs, he's playing 20 plus minutes a night. He's rock solid defensive for us here at our level. And he's an offensive threat every time he touches the ice. He's a true 200-foot defenseman at the American League level. So now his next step is to transition that into the NHL by starting defensively sound, which I think he's done, especially in his latest stint there, getting more comfortable and really transitioning that full game. But like I said, for them to see him and for me to explain to them, the young D-man, I mean, where he was and what he had to go through. And we had a lot of these similar conversations, and now they're watching him playing 23 minutes a night against the best players, score on the penalty kill, power play, call up, playing minutes in the NHL. I think it's so important because he's gone through that. He's at that threshold now, 200, 300 games where we see what he is now. And I believe he's an NHL defenseman.
Jet Greaves is such a magnetic character because I've talked to Chris Clark about him. I've talked to some of your players about him. Everybody says the same thing, that he's the hardest worker they've ever seen. He's one of the better goalies they've ever seen. But the person he is the best part. And now that he's with the Blue Jackets, and whenever he's come up before, it's the same thing. It's just rave reviews about Jet Greaves. As his coach, what can you say about Jet Greaves? Because he's a special guy.
Yeah, I think you said it all. You're not going to learn anything new. Everybody's kind of said it, but I think the biggest thing with Jet is he is the prime example of controlling what you can control. And no matter what circumstances he's thrown into, what team, what league, he has his head down and does his work and trusts his process, and that's it. And good game, bad game, he lets it roll off his back and he's back to work. And it's a one day at a time mentality. He's the first one here, crosses all his T's, dots all his I's in the weight room as far as warm up for practice and stretching and lifting, gets on the ice early to go through his routine, takes practice seriously. And then when game time comes, he just plays because he's in the groove and it's another day and he goes about his process. I think he's the ultimate pro. And we haven't even touched on what he is in the locker room, which I think one thing we focused on a lot here this year is, like I said, that winning mentality, but that starts with culture and as far and the team, you know, how close the team is. He's a glue guy down there that really embodies, you know, other people's success being his success. And I think that's why, you know, we've had a decent year here is because that mindset's kind of permeated through the locker room. And it's not an easy thing. Young players, like I said, they want to come in, they want to get their points, they want to get paid, and they want to get to the NHL. But in order to do that, you really have to invest in your teammates, understand that their success, it really truly is your success. And Jet's the perfect example for these guys to look at as far as being a pro, the way he approaches the game and the teammate that he is. So it's been our honor as coaches to have him here for the past couple of years.
You guys were essentially in first place in the division from the start of the year until when the Blue Jackets had all of these injuries. And now you guys have been ransacked a little bit, some of your better players playing in the NHL. And because of that, you've had your hiccups the last couple of weeks. I know you're coming off of a win your last time out, but how have you managed this as a coach? Because you guys obviously have the playoffs on the horizon. You've been one of the better teams in the AHL all season, but towards the end of the year, some of these things are kind of out of your control that made you guys struggle maybe more than you would like to ramping up for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I think our guys overall, something we've talked about after you know, we've had a good start, and now the mindset changes, and it's a different skill to have is being the hunted, right? And that's not an easy thing. You think when you look at the top of the standings, say you look at the Dallas Stars, and you say, oh man, that's just nice. They go to the rink every day and they just, you know, they just pile on wins. It doesn't work that way. It's, you know, you're getting other teams' best games, and that just pushes you to be better. And that's something we've talked about a lot. You cannot take a game off because teams know they're coming in to play the first place team. They're not going to have an off night that one, right? They're going to be focused. And I think that's been good for our guys to have to go through. Now, the last couple of weeks, obviously, we had a 7-game winless streak, right? And I think that's I take responsibility for that, because regardless, that's the nature of our league, right? Is players come, players go. Sometimes it's at one end of the spectrum, and sometimes you're healthy. But ultimately, that's my job to make sure that we can sustain that. And I don't think I've necessarily done a good enough job in the past couple of weeks of keeping our group, our mindset, and our belief that we can still get the job done in the place that it needs to be. And, you know, we've gone through a little bit of a hiccup, like you said. But again, that's what our league's for. These guys have to go through the downs so they can find their way out of it. And you're going to have 3, 4, 5 game losing streaks in the NHL when these guys get there, hopefully. And you have to have something to look back on as to how you got yourself and your team out of it. And I think that's been, you know, we're still, like you said, we won and we've gotten 3 points in our last 4 games or last 2 games here, but we're not out of it yet. And it's still something that we're trying to instill in these guys. You got to, when you're in these kind of lulls, you really have to dig in, pull together, and the little details that we talk about all year become even more important. So not fun to go through, never is. I think, like I said, a lot of that's on me, but at the end of the day, it's good for them to go through, and hopefully you can come out stronger as individuals and as a group.
I don't know if you've said it explicitly yet, but one of the underlying themes here in this entire conversation has been that from the start of the year until now, you've been getting guys ready for the playoffs. But now that you have 5 games left in the season and the playoffs are literally right around the corner, how do you get a team set for that battle? Because it's different, right? It's not the regular season anymore.
No, things get ramped up from, you know, 5 or 6 sometimes at the dog days of the season to an 8 and to a 10. And we're at a 10 right now because, you know, every point matters for we don't have an expire name right now either. Right. So every point matters to get into the playoffs. Every point matters for your placement when you're in home ice. And, you know, we'd love to chase down a division title. We're now 2 points back out of first. So but yeah, I think, for me, and you know, ever since I've been a pro as a player, playoffs is when the season begins. That's, you go through the season just to get to the playoffs, and if you don't make the playoffs, it's a wasted season, and that's, it's not acceptable. So that's been us, you know, our mindset as a group all year is you know, you have to do these things to get ready for the real season. That's in April, May, and June. And now all the things we've talked about all year, we're expecting them to be sharp and done. And the competitiveness can't dip because you'll get punched in the mouth because everybody's desperate. And it's the most fun time of the year because the games are harder. The pressure's there, and you know, the highs are so high and the lows are so low. And that's why we're all here. It's what it's all about, is this time and obviously coming up, hopefully with playoff hockey. But that's, again, my whole job has been to get these guys to have that winning mindset, to expect to win, and to think of themselves as winners as a group and as individuals, so that they're ready for playoff hockey. Because like I said, that's in my opinion, the only thing that matters.
All right, Trent. Well, this was great. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I'm rooting for you guys. I hope you win the division. I know everybody here in Columbus wants to see you guys do well too. So best of luck in these final five games, and really good luck in the playoffs when you get there.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Huge thank you to Trent Vogelhuber for taking the time to do that. Every time I talk to Trent, I come away from the conversation feeling enlightened, and I feel the exact same way right now. The guy knows what he's doing. He's a younger coach, not just in the American Hockey League, but a younger coach in general, and I feel like he has just such a good grasp of what's going on with his team. You watch some of the videos from the post games up in Cleveland, you hear what the guys have to say about him, and I think that's the message, right? That this guy knows what he's doing, and he's a really good coach. So I'm hoping that the Monsters are able to end the season strong and get into that top seed in the North Division, get themselves a better matchup in the playoffs. And believe me, I'm going to try and make it up there for a few games. I want to see the Monsters in the postseason. As it stands right now, I mentioned it off the top, five games left for the Monsters this year. They're going to play tomorrow night and again on Saturday at home against the Laval Rocket. Then their final three games this season will be away from Cleveland. Going to start things off against Rochester on April 19th. That'll be a huge game. Then two games against Toronto, who's currently behind the Monsters in the North Division, 5 points back of them. So they're going to end the season in Toronto, and that'll do it for the Monsters' regular season. After that, they're hopefully looking at a lengthy run in the playoffs. One other piece of housekeeping, the Frozen Four is coming up tomorrow as well. Two Blue Jackets prospects will be facing off, so lots of interest there. Gavin Brindley's Michigan Wolverines will be battling Aiden Hurschuk's Boston College Eagles. The puck will drop at 8:30 in Minnesota. You can catch that game on ESPN2. So that's the second Frozen Four matchup tomorrow, Thursday. The first, there's lots of potential draft interest. Boston University taking on Denver, top prospects, draft-eligible prospects on each of those teams. The puck will drop at 5 o'clock on ESPN2 for that game. So lots going on when it comes to the Blue Jackets prospects right now. The Monsters pushing for the playoffs. Gavin Brindley, Aiden Hurschuk facing off in the Frozen Four. One of those guys will go to the national championship game. So it's a good time to be somebody that's interested in Blue Jackets prospects, just like you and me. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pipeline Podcast presented by Ruoff Mortgage. Again, a huge thank you to Trent for taking all that time. Thank you to the Monsters communication staff for setting that up. And as always, thank you for being with me. I'll chat with you very soon.